Case number SCWC-28762, District Council 50 of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades v. Lopez. Arguing for the petitioner, Michael Lilly. Arguing for the respondent, Rodney Tam. Also appearing for the respondent, Lei Fukumura. Argument on the merits.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors. The issue before this court is whether the Contracting License Board's definition of the statutory terms incidental and supplemental as any work related to or and necessary for the construction project is entitled to any deference under this court's case of Sierra Club, the more or less deferential standard. The case also raises two questions that were left unresolved by this court's Okada case, and that is, one is the scope of the incidental and supplemental exception of 444-8 of Hawaii Revised Statutes, and secondly, the scope of a specialty contractor's license, which is intended to provide for the public safety and welfare by ensuring that specialty contractors are skilled, trained, experienced, and licensed in their trade. The standard of review for the interpretation of the statute is clearly one of de novo. And with respect to the interpretation given by the state under this court's Kuhn versus City and County of Honolulu, the Contracting License Board's definition is entitled to no deference if it is contrary to and violates the terms used by the legislature. Now, the legislature in contracting laws has set up two kinds of contractors. You got AB contractor on one side, which is an electrical contractor, and a general building contractor is B. On the other side, you have C contractors. Those are the specialty contractors that have special skill in very discrete areas. Like in our case, I represent Aloha Glass, which is a Hawaii licensed C-22 glazing window jealousy contractor who's experienced and licensed in that trade, has special expertise in that trade. In this case below, Allied Pacific was a B contractor, B general contractor. And under the state's rules, a B contractor has an automatic C5 specialty carpentry. It's a general carpentry renovation type specialty contractor. The Aloha Glass on the other side, as I mentioned, is a C22 specialty contractor. Now, an overriding rule in the statutes and as expressed in Okada is that contractors may not work outside their trade, outside their license. They have to work within their trade. So for example, in Okada, an A engineering contractor who did not have a C-37 plumbing contract couldn't do plumbing work. That was outside the scope of their employment. And if I may paraphrase Okada, language in Okada at 97 Hawaii 462 with this case, quote, thus, to the extent that the project, in this case, required window work, classified as C-22 specialty work, Allied Pacific, the B contractor, which does not hold a C-22 specialty license, could not undertake to do work in that area. Now, the inquiry doesn't end there, because the legislature, in its wisdom, decided to set up an exception that contractors could work outside their license in a very discreet way, and that's the incidental and supplemental exception.
Mr. Lilly, that's the crux of this argument.
It is the crux of the argument, and it's the crux of this case.
Is the work that was contracted to do on the school incidental and supplemental?
Absolutely not. If we take the word incidental, statute it doesn't define it, but it's a pretty simple word, and every definition that we found of that word, it has some relation to minor, secondary, small. In fact, I have a Webster's Unabridged Dictionary here. Incidental, one, happening or likely to happen as a result of or in connection with something more important. Two, secondary or minor.
Mr. Lilly, in your brief to the ICA, you in fact cite American Heritage College Dictionary, which is another standard dictionary. incidental is used in the phrase incidental to something else?
No, I don't. I see.
Well, let me point it out to you.
Well,
with all due respect.
Well, I understand your.
The word incidental, as you say, and I looked this up in my American Heritage Dictionary, which I have in my chambers on my desk, and that I used all the way through graduate school because it is a standard dictionary. Just like you found in your American Heritage Dictionary, mine was occurring as a fortuitous or minor concomitant. Mm-hmm. So the word minor is there. However, my American Heritage Dictionary also includes a specific definition of the phrase incidental to. And that definition is attending or liable to attend. And then I look up the word attend, and the definition of attend is to accompany as a circumstance. All right? Now, what that tells me is that the word incidental, when used as an adjective, standing alone, for example, incidental expenses, is minor. All right? However, the phrase incidental to, I think, is quite different, such that the sentence I'm going to tell you now is a perfectly fine and good example of proper English usage, okay? The death of hundreds of people was incidental to the crashing of two planes into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. I don't think anybody on this earth would say that the death of hundreds of people was minor. However, it was, in fact, in ordinary, common English usage, incidental to the crashing of those two planes, because it accompanied it as a circumstance. And the phrase at issue here is not incidental standing alone, as far as I can tell. The plain language of the statute and the rule is incidental and supplemental to the project. All right? So,
well, Your Honor, I have to respectfully disagree. And I disagree because the problem with the way in which you're viewing it would mean that you could essentially actually buying into an argument that the state has made. And the state has made two separate inconsistent arguments. They have substituted the word incidental and supplemental with related to and necessary for. And when you go and define the word related, it means associated, it means in connection, which is very similar to what you're saying. And so anything that's related to or connected to, under that definition, would be accepted. And that was absolutely not the intention of the statute. The intention of the legislature.
Isn't that why you have a hearings officer and a board and an agency to begin with?
And it's why
they have the expertise. And they're given these general phrases, and they apply them.
And this is also why
unless their application is plainly erroneous, isn't the reviewing court supposed to give the ruling deference?
Actually, if they are plainly erroneous, which I say they are, and that's why we have courts to review these things. And in this case, they were plainly erroneous because under that definition, under the definition they use, you could virtually eliminate all C contractors in any contract. You would. Here's the point. The state uses the definition related to, which means associated or connected, which means anything. It's unlimited. What would be related to, and that's similar to your definition, incidental to, is anything is going to be connected to, anything is going to be subject to. And yet, on one hand, the state says that's the rule, connected to, but then in opposition to the certiorari here, they say, look, it could never be more than 50%. It has to be less than the major project. But that's not what they argued below, and that's not what they argued before the ICA, and that's not what the hearings officer said. The hearings officer said extent or cost of work has nothing to do with the definition by the contracting license board. And we're saying that if you buy into the contracting license board interpretation, you are trampling on the public the public purposes of the incidental and supplemental exception and not recognizing exactly what the legislature had in mind, which was this. The purpose of the incidental and supplemental rule was when you have a contract, and whether it's a B contractor or it's a C-22 contractor, in our case, a glazing window contractor, if in connection with that work you had to do some minuscule or manini or minor work that was outside your trade, for example, you had to move a light switch 1 foot or something like that, that you didn't have to go out and hire electrical C-13 contractor in order to do that work. You could do that in-house with your own employees. It was supposed to be a practical solution to the issue what a contractor is facing when there is small work that it has to do to accomplish the job that involves some outside trade, a small painting of a window, a little bit of a plumbing thing or a tiling thing, but it's a small part of the whole. That was the intent, was achieve a practical response. But that's not what the state has turned this upside down and taken very clear words, very, very simple words, and created something that, and the state finds themselves in a morass here, because on the one side they say cost and extent has nothing to do with incidental, or their definition of incidental and supplemental, and then on the same side say, well, yeah, quantity does have some impact because it can never be more than a half. They can't have it both ways.
Mr. Lilly, I found it interesting that the circuit court's decision of the order indicated on page 3 that the board has consistently found that where a job requiring renovation work includes jalousie window work, the jalousie window work falls within the term incidental and supplemental. So my questions are as follows. First of all, is that true? I'm assuming that there's no dispute that jalousie window work would usually fall under a C-22 specialty license.
In fact, those words are in the definition of C-22.
Okay, so, but I'm not sure what was argued to the court that, in terms of the court saying that this is, I'm just wondering, has the board just kind of made a jalousy exception?
No, there's no jalousy exception. And you really can't. Here's the thing. You go to the bid specifications, and it says what kind of work the C-22 work is. And it says, quote, fabrication and installation of aluminum jalousy windows by skilled and experienced mechanics to the best standard of the trade. That's what the bid called for. And then you go look at the C-22 definition, and they use words like assemble and install, metal windows, metal jalousies. And remember, the C contractors are people who are specially skilled in that particular trade and therefore licensed because of that to do that work to protect the public interest. And so that's the purpose of the rule.
Mr. Lilly, the hearings officer and the board clearly, especially the hearings officer, indicated that the officer would not consider the extent or cost of the work. Okay. Suppose the officer just said, I'm just going to decide whether this is incidental and supplemental. Would there be grounds to reverse the board and the director?
Yes, because we don't. I think anyone could look at this and see that a $372,000 job that involves 10,000 plus slats and 476 windows, under any definition, is not incidental.
Well, as Justice Kim indicated, there is incidental to the. It wasn't just a glass project; it was a whole redoing of a school refurbishing of a school.
Right.
And so if it's incidental to the whole refurbishment of the school, why isn't it incidental and supplemental?
Because it's such a large thing. By any measure, it's not what the legislature intended as basically the exception to the rule that you cannot operate outside your trade.
Is there a quantum measurement?
That's the problem that the state has, is they did try after Okada to come up with something like a percentage, and they couldn't, because 1% of a $20 million project would be $200,000, and that, by any definition, wouldn't be minor. So the state hasn't been able to come up with any definition other than this one they did in 1980, and that's why we're here today, because they have taken the words incidental and supplemental, which we're asking your honors to define, because that's a de novo review, so that they can be instructed why their definition is wrong.
What do you think there should be
I beg your pardon?
Do you think there should be a quantum? Or
I don't
how
think
would
you
could, measure it?
I think it's a definition. It has to be words like minor and small, incidental in the context of minor and small. Because if you used a quantum measure, as I say, if it was 1% of 200 million, you've got a $200,000 job. So that doesn't work, and the state wasn't able to find a solution that way. So it really has to be a definitional one and say, one, the Contracting License Board was incorrect in having such a broad definition of incidental and supplemental as being anything related to, where no one could, everyone would be guessing from time to time when it would be applied and when it would not.
Well, they didn't say that it would be anything. They applied it to a particular project in a particular case.
Right, but the definition says related to.
Aren't you the guys who are, you know.
Well, that's why this case is such a good one, because you've got what is clearly, anybody looking at this, you know, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. This is not incidental. This is not minor. This is not minuscule. This is not what was intended by the legislature. And the Contracting License Board has got to come up with a definition that's consistent with the statute that we ask your honors to define, and then order them to have their order has to be consistent, or their definition has to be consistent with your orders, with your definition of what is incidental and supplemental. Look, let me give you an example a different way. Let's say, Justice McKenna, let's say you are a C-22 contractor, and Judge Sakamoto, you're a B contractor. And let's say instead of the whole renovation of Lana Kila School, the state put out to bid just the windows, the $372,000 worth of windows, no question, no one would argue that Judge Sakamoto, you couldn't bid on that contract. You couldn't be awarded it, and you couldn't do the work without violating the contracting law. And by contrast, Justice McKenna could be awarded that. In fact, she'd be the only one here. If you were the only attempted bidder, she'd be the only one to be entitled to that contract. And the only difference between that and here.
You know, H.A.R. 1677-34 defines incidental and supplemental as work in other trades directly related to and necessary for the completion of the project undertaken by a licensee pursuant to the scope of the licensee's right. license. Right. Couldn't an argument be made that it's intended to apply in a situation where it's not clear under the original contract that another specialty is going to be required, but however, when you start the project, in order to complete it, you need to do something that's incidental to complete the project. But in terms of bidding on a project, you need the requisite specialty licenses. Would that be a reasonable construction?
In fact, because the bid had what it was supposed to do, which was pretty extensive, as I defined it. But when Allied sent its bid in, you'll see that on the line C-22, it was blank. There's nothing there.
In other words, let's say that this was a C-5 type of job, and then as they were doing it, they realized that they had to, maybe they had to move, or they broke some of the jalousie, one of the jalousie windows, and they had to finish it up or something
right.
like that.
No, that's incidental. If you broke a window and had to replace that, sure. But here they didn't put any. Now, if you try to substitute in a C-22 after your award of the contract, that would be called bid shopping, and that's illegal. And what actually happened here, if you look at the record on appeal at 95, I read into the record a letter to me in response to the letter from the, my complaint to the state of Hawaii, that in fact what Allied Pacific did after it got the contract was ostensibly this work was overwhelming, so it secretly hired another C-22 glazing window contractor to do that work, which is bid shopping. It's illegal, and the state ordered them to cease and desist.
What is the concept of bid shopping?
Bid shopping is where you bid on a project and you either name a specialty, a C-22, or you don't, and then after you get the contract, you replace it with a different C-22 or you try to add one. And the reason why that's illegal is what they do is they try to get the bid with one C contractor, and then when they get the contract, they get some cheaper guy to come in to do the work, and they keep more money. And so in Hawaii, that's illegal. Illegal, and the state ordered Allied to cease and desist doing that, hiring this secret contractor. But it stands for the proposition that we're seeing here is that this was not minor work. If you look at the bid specs, these are significant work, and just the value of it is just overwhelming, being up to 25% of the project. It's an overwhelming amount.
So,
Council, the terms incidental and supplemental, what rule does that arise from, the language?
The legislature hasn't, I don't think, says that in the legislative history, so we have the words. And we know that the contracting law says it's illegal for you to practice outside your trade, and OCADA teaches us that. So, but the legislature wanted to have some exception to the rules so that there was some wiggle room when you had some minor thing you had to do. And so that's clearly why the legislature adopted that provision.
Right. But I'm asking you, what specific provision are you referring to?
444-8C.
And what does it read
and
specifically?
It says that if it's incidental and supplemental to the work, as Justice McKenna had I think she quoted.
Incidental and supplemental.
And supplemental.
So do you think that's a clear meaning, interpretation, or is it ambiguous?
I don't see it's ambiguous. I see that as being clear and unambiguous, and contrary to the Contractor Association amici that say that it's not clear. In fact, they're saying that the Contracting License Board definition is clear. And I say it's the other way around. I say the statute's clear on its face. It's using everyday words, and this court can, de novo, can interpret them. And the Contracting License Board, instead of being clear, it's so overbroad that it would completely eviscerate, if I use Okada's words, it would eviscerate the sea contracting laws. It creates such uncertainty. If you look at our trade association, amici, they talk about the uncertainty that the thing creates.
I'm kind of curious. Are you saying then it clearly says incidental to? Are you saying it clearly says just incidental?
Incidental and supplemental to the completion of the project. Incidental and supplemental to the...
Mr. Lilly, keep talking about the Contractors License Board. The makeup of this board, you got five general contractor, five specialty contractors on this board, plus three non-contractor members. Don't you think, I'm sure, those folks analyze the bidding contract, you're looking at the C5 specialty, whether they're capable of performing the work, the renovation at Lanakila. Shouldn't that bear some deference from the reviewing courts, knowing that you have specialty on this contractor license board? They're supposed to be specializing in their area, otherwise I don't think they would be voting on this board.
Well, Your Honor, we've got a statute that the Contracting License Board has interpreted. They've substituted this related to and necessary for the incidental supplemental language. They've just substituted those words.
That's not incompatible with incidental and supplemental too, in my view.
I understand that, Your Honor, and we're going to have to respectfully disagree on that because that's not the intent. And to answer your question is that the question is whether their Contracting License Board definition is consistent with the legislative language, and if it's not, then it's entitled to no deference whatsoever, and the Contracting License Board, using an inappropriate definition, shouldn't be entitled to do that in this case.
If a general contractor, if a contractor with a B license did electrical work under requiring an A license, could they be, without bringing in an A licensee, could they be cited for a licensed activity?
They could. Well, as long as you're outside.
A licensee came in and started doing plumbing work without a plumbing specialty, could they be cited for unlicensed activity?
They could, but if it's incidental and supplemental is anything that's related to it, then they got a pass if that's the case. If it's minor movement of something, like I mentioned as moving a light switch, that's incidental. That's what it was intended, to allow them to do that work, to keep the job in-house. And the contract, the general contractors want to keep everything in-house. They want to keep all the money.
So you do not think that the rule would require you to have the license at the time. You are kind of going with a percentage or a scope of what percentage of the scope of the project would constitute incidental support.
In terms of minor versus great. And if it's 25% of the project, and in any way you view this, this is not incidental.
I have a couple of questions. One, how do you respond to the amicus briefs that have been filed clearly it's a worst-case scenario that it's going to really drive up the cost of construction?
Very good point, Your Honor, and it's one I was going to make in my rebuttal, and I'll certainly
make that
now.
Well, you can save it for your rebuttal if you want.
I'd like to make that case. Yes, it may drive up, it may cost more if you're required, but the legislature has made that decision. There's nothing in the statute that says cost is the issue. What the statute says for specialty contractors is we're talking about the public health and safety, and we want trained and skilled specialty contractors. That's where the balance has been accorded. And what the contractors want, it's very selfish. They want to do all of that C work in-house, and they keep the money for themselves and not be required. And all we're saying is, if it's more than minor, you've got to go get a contractor out in any of these trades outside your trade. And cost is irrelevant. That issue has been one for the legislature and not the courts to decide.
Well, then why would you say that the board and the hearing officer erred in saying they weren't going to take into consideration extent and cost?
Cost in terms of the cost of this work. This work was $372,000 worth of work. That's the cost. That's what I say. What they're saying is it's going to increase their costs because they have to go hire a specialty contractor. But that's what the statute says you have to do. Thank you.
May it please the court. This case involves a very narrow issue, and the issue is whether the contractor's license board correctly determined that a B general building contractor, through its automatic C5 license, can do the aluminum jealousy window work on the Lanaquila Elementary School renovation project because the window work is incidental and supplemental to the renovation work. We submit that the board properly applied the laws and its rules to the specific facts in this case. The board's determination is entitled to deference. The Okada Trucking case that the petitioners rely heavily upon is inapplicable to this case. The board's incidental and supplemental rule is not vague. And five, the board's determination does not harm the public. We therefore respectfully request that you affirm the ICA's decision.
Mr. Tam, if the board does not take into consideration the extent or cost of work, how do they determine whether the work is incidental and supplemental?
That's a good question, Your Honor. The definition of incidental and supplemental in the board's rule is that the other work has to be directly related to and necessary for the completion of the project undertaken by a licensee pursuant to the scope of the licensee's license. That last part is key. So basically what the board does is whenever we get a scope of work question or a project is presented to it, they look and they try to identify what's the primary purpose, or what's the purpose of the job. And then they identify the primary licensee, And then whatever types of work are remaining, then they would apply the incidental and supplemental definition and see if the remaining work is directly related and necessary to complete the work undertaken by the primary.
So why don't the rules just say that? Why didn't the board just promulgate rules and say incidental and supplemental to means as long as you're licensed and the primary purpose of the project, you're licensed, you have the license for the primary purpose, everything else is incidental and supplemental.
We believe that it says that already, and it's been consistently interpreted that way. So let me try and give you some examples. Maybe this might help. Say you have a leaking pipe in a wall, double wall construction, and it's damaging the drywall, it's damaging the paint. Homeowner comes to the board and asks, what type of licenses are required to do this project? So the board would look and say, well, the purpose of the job is to repair the leaky pipes. So that's plumbing work. So that's the province of a C-37 plumbing contractor. And then they would look and say, okay, what's left over? And that would be the drywall and the painting. And then under the incidental and supplemental rule, they would look and say, is the drywall and the painting, is that directly related and necessary for the plumber to fix the leaking pipes? The answer in that example is yes, because the plumber has to be able to get through the drywall to access the pipes, fix the leak, and then be able to patch the drywall and then paint it.
Okay, so if it's a situation in which it's kind of like a school renovation,
right,
and they're renovating rooms and they're tearing down walls and putting up drywall, generally they're building walls, and there may also be the need to lay some electrical wires and put in new lights and things like that. An electrical license would not be required if it's incidental and supplemental to the primary purpose, which is a renovation.
Actually, that's not correct, because for electrical, plumbing, and elevator work, only the electrical contractor, the plumbing contractor, and the elevator contractor can do that type of work because of the special permitting requirements by the counties, as well as the fact that the people who actually do this type of work have to be licensed themselves under HRS chapters 448E and 448H. So there is a difference with respect to those three types of specialty work.
I see. Suppose there's a big contract to do a school, and it's going to cost X amount of dollars. If you don't take into consideration the cost of the work that the subspecialty would normally take into consideration, how can you determine the extent of it? How can you determine whether it is incidental? Because it could be something that's confined to an area. It could be something that, but if it's more expensive than all the, or costs more money than all the rest of the renovations, how could it be incidental and supplementary? Don't you have to take into consideration the cost?
We don't think so. I mean, the rule that we've promulgated, that the board has promulgated, doesn't take into account.
Which
cost,
rule is that?
1677-34. So it doesn't have a cost or a percentage figure. And the reason is because there really is no one size that fits all. Every project is different. Every project is looked at on a case-by-case basis. Any percentage or dollar amount that we would insert would be.
So in this case, did the contractor come to the board in advance and request an opinion as to whether or not this was going to be required?
The low bidder on the job, LI Pacific, which was a B general building contractor, did come to the board and ask for the board's interpretation. And the board did say that through its C5, the window work was incidental and supplemental to the Monticello School project. Right, but getting back to your question about incidental and supplemental and the cost, we don't look at that. Again, we just apply, the board applies the language in the rule to decide whether the other work is directly related and necessary for the primary licensee to complete his or her work. And there's nothing that says in the law or the legislative history that percentages or dollar amounts are considered. And in fact, on most of the scope of work questions that are presented to the board, they don't identify or disclose the dollar amounts. They don't disclose the percentages. They, like the example that I gave you about the plumbing work in the wall, is similar to that, where they just say, here's the work, what kind of licenses are required to do it?
Well, aren't you, in your definition of how they determine, how it is determined what incidental and supplemental means, doesn't that necessarily take into consideration the extent of each of the different components of the job?
Well, again, what we do is we look at the purpose of the project. We start with that first, and then we see if the remaining work is needed for the primary licensee to finish his or her work. So the extent is not, you know, necessarily taken into consideration. I mean, we don't have anything in the laws or the rules that specifies a percentage, a cutoff percentage or a dollar amount. So let me give you another example, maybe some help too. Say you have a hole in the roof, it's leaking, water is damaging the carpet in below, and a homeowner comes before the board and asks, what type of licenses are required to finish this project? The board would say, if we start with the roof, that the roofing work is the province of a C-42 roofing contractor. And then they would look, and then they would say, at the remaining work, which is the damaged carpeting below, is the carpeting work directly related and necessary for the roofer to patch the roof? The answer to that example is no. If we start with the carpeting, and the board would say, what is the license that's required to change out the carpeting? It would be a C7 carpet laying contractor. And then they would look and say, okay, now what's left over? That's the roofing work. And then they would apply the incidental and supplemental definition and ask whether the roofing work was directly related and necessary for the carpet layer to finish the carpet laying work, and the answer is no. So in that case, you would have to sub it out. I mean, you would have two prime contractors, a C-42 roofer and a C-7 carpet layer.
Do you, what about Mr. Lilly's statement about that you are now conceding that you need 50%, less than 50% of the work would be incidental and supplemental? Okay. So you don't agree with that?
No.
So if something can be incidental and supplemental if it comprises of 80% of the
Well, like I said, under
work
the,
done.
The way that the board looks at it, and you know, there's different ways to quantify the 80%. What is that? Is it dollar amount? Is it man hours? Is it the cost of the materials? It's different, but let's assume that you can actually quantify something, some part of the work. Under the board's definition of incidental and supplemental, that 80% or that 99%, like example that they've used in their briefs, would be the primary work. And then whatever is left over, you'd have to apply the incidental and supplemental definition to see if the remaining work is directly related and necessary to complete the 80 or the 99%.
So there is a quantifiable amount. At 99%, you're with it. That's definitely got to be, that's not incidental and supplemental, if it's 99%.
No, there's no quantifiable amount. Again, we look at the purpose. What is the purpose of the job? So assuming that you can quantify the work, that part of the work where it consists of 99%, the board would say that that is the purpose of the job. That's the primary licensee, so you start with that. So that 99% would not be incidental and supplemental to the 1%.
So basically, if it was a large project to build an entire building, the only specialty contractors that would actually be required would be the electrical, the plumbing, and the additional contractor that you said the statutes require.
Or the elevator.
Elevator.
Contractor.
Right. Those would be the only thing that are actually required, because everything else would be incidental and supplemental.
Are you talking about a new building?
Yeah, new construction, a new building. Putting up a new building, you don't, because the primary purpose is to build a building,
right.
You know, and maybe it's even a high rise, a tall building. And the primary purpose is to build that building, therefore, everything else would be incidental and supplemental. The only thing that would be required would be the plumbing, electrical, and the elevator, because those three are required pursuant to the statute, not pursuant to rules.
No, I mean, if it's a brand new building, then the license that would be required would be a B general building contractor. because it's a brand new structure.
Right, right, right.
And then under the Okada Trucking decision, the B could only do the work that it has the appropriate specialty license for. Mm-hmm. So in our rule, 1677-32, the B automatically has 10 types of C licenses.
Right, okay.
So they can only do work in those categories, plus anything else, any other C licenses that they got on their own, and anything that is incidental and supplemental to those categories as it pertains to the building.
Okay, so the primary purpose of this project was
a brand new structure. I'm sorry,
this project was renovation.
Was renovation and repair, correct. So the board determined under its incidental and supplemental, well, in the C5 category, it specifically says that C5 can do remodeling and repair work. And anything that's incidental and supplemental to the remodeling or repair work. And so when you apply the incidental and supplemental definition in our 1677-34 to the window work in question here, it is directly related and necessary to the remodeling work.
Say Grosvenor Towers, and that thing is all glass, floor to ceiling, okay. Basically the walls are windows. But under Justice McKenna's scenario, building the building is the important thing. Putting up the girders, but all those things. This is a glazier. Is this a glazier project? The windows on the building? I mean, if they're so important to the structure of the building, could that also be considered incidental and supplemental when it's not required by a B license?
It is glazing work. I mean, it would fall under the C22, then the board would have to look and see if it falls within any of the other specialty categories that or specialty licenses that the B gets.
And if it didn't?
If it didn't, then they would have to sub it out. They couldn't do the work. They could beat a prime on the contract, but they couldn't do the work.
Why couldn't it be considered supplemental and incidental if it is a minor part when you say the board takes a look at the entire project?
Right.
And decides what the overall purpose of the project is, which is to build a building. Why couldn't the board then decide that that's incidental and supplemental?
Well, there's a difference between a brand new building and a renovation project. So here we're dealing with a renovation project. So in that case, because the C5 specifically says incidental and supplemental in the scope, we apply that and look at the window work to see if it's incidental to the
renovation. What if the renovation is, you know, just to keep like one portion of a house and then tear down the rest of it and then add a whole new wing of the house? Is that still a renovation project?
No, that would probably be a fall within the scope of a B licensee because that's the C5 cannot do structural work. It's limited to non-structural remodeling and repairs, and that's consistent with what the ICA said in the Schultz v. Luong case. But if it's a brand new building or an addition or something structural, then it's B work. So if I may continue, the board promulgated this incidental and supplemental rule pursuant to its specific statutory authority. The legislature gave them the authority to promulgate rules and to effectuate the classifications in accordance with the established usage and custom in the construction industry. They exercised their discretion. They looked at the phrase incidental and supplemental, which is only named once in the law, which is in HRS section 444-8C, and they define that term in its rule, and I've already told you what that definition is. They did that in accordance with the established usage and custom in the construction industry. So they properly exercised their discretion. They have the authority to do this. This rule has been in existence for 33 years, since 1980, so it's well known throughout the construction industry. Board has consistently interpreted and applied it.
And the rule was promulgated according to all the proper procedures.
Correct.
Chapter 91, public hearings, comments, all of that, right?
Correct.
And there's no allegation whatsoever that there's anything improper about the promulgation of this particular rule.
None that we're aware of. Now, in addition to it being unchanged for 33 years, there have been numerous attempts to go in and change the law and define the phrase incidental and supplemental in the law. So the legislature is aware of our rule and how we interpret it, and they have still not acted. So under the doctrine of legislative acquiescence in the Claybird case that was cited, you should defer to the board's definition. Now, if I can just address a couple of things that the petitioner said about the special skill. Now, when a bee is acting as, I'm sorry, when not, in this case, the bee was allowed to do the window work because it's incidental and supplemental to the renovation project, and it falls within the scope of the C5 license. In that case, he is acting as a specialty, not a general. And as a specialty, just like any other specialty, they have special skill. It's just that in this particular case, the scope of the C5 is a little bit broader than some of the other specialty categories. Some are narrow, some are broader. Painting is narrow, carpet laying is narrow, C5 is a little bit broader, C25 is kind of broad too. But the bottom line is it doesn't matter. It's up to the board to decide what classifications they want to establish, and they've done so. Each requires special skill, and the fact that there's no exclusivity in any of these classes. By that I mean in these classes there is direct overlap in the specific scope of each class of the classification, so that not only one class is not the only contractor that's able to do the work. There are others that can do the same type of work.
So B contractors have a lot of specialty licenses, correct?
Correct. They have 10 that are automatically given to them.
And those specialty licenses, under 448-8, it's the board that gets to establish the contractors, right? I mean, the classification of contractors. So all these different types of C contractors, why doesn't the board just say C-22 and C-5 includes C-22? If the C-5s are quite capable of enforcing, doing what's required, the purpose of the statute being to protect the public health and safety and those kinds of things. If shingle work, aluminum jalousies is always going to be incidental to a renovation, why didn't the board just say C-22 is C-5 includes B contractors also have C-22 licenses?
Because one, the C-5 has the incidental and supplemental language, and two, it would be kind of impossible to list every type of work that is incidental and supplemental to a remodeling and repairs project. And again, when the board has been faced with these types of renovation questions involving window work, they've consistently held that the window work is incidental and supplemental to the remodeling and repairs work.
So the circuit court, there was something in the record before the circuit court when the circuit court said that the board has consistently ruled that jealousy work is included within, is incidental and supplemental to a C-5.
Correct, and it was in the record when the, at the petition for bank relief, there were copies of prior board minutes where the board consistently said that, on a renovation project, window work is incidental and supplemental to that. And on top of that, in the Schultz case that I previously mentioned, the ICAA has said that window work falls within the scope of a C-5. So the C-5 can do the window work, and we don't think that it's necessary to enumerate every type of work, because we're not going to be able to anticipate every type of work that's involved in a renovation project. A renovation project can consist of something small, or the scope could be very broad. But the bottom line is it's up to the board to apply its laws and its rules and determine whether a particular license is required or not, and whether something is incidental and supplemental or not.
Okay.
I would like to just talk about the $372,000 figure and the 20 to 25% that the petitioner cites to. You know, that $372,000 figure, that's misleading, because that's the estimate of one of the co-petitioners, Aloha Glass. If you look at the supplemental declaration of the president of Aloha Glass, Mr. Ed Kunishi, he says, if I were to do that work, I would charge the $372,000. And therefore, taking that $372,000 and you compare it to the low bidder's overall price of $1.2 million, that constitutes 20 to 25% of the work of this Mauna Kea school project. But that's misleading, because that's not the actual cost of the window work on the Mauna Kea project, because they probably don't know. The low bidder was a B general building contractor. Through his C5, he could do the window work. He didn't have to sub it out. They didn't have to disclose how much their cost was of the window work. So the 20 to 25% is also misleading. You really shouldn't consider it. I think petitioner has mentioned that there's a concern about the harm to the public, and I just wanted to address that briefly. Basically, the board is the one that determines who's qualified to do certain types of work on a particular project. They have issued scope determinations for over 33 years, actually longer than 33 years. I mean, the law was created in 1957. But they do have scope of work guidelines. They do try to work with the contracting agencies. They try to work with the trade associations and the contractors out there and the public, because they want everyone to be on the same page. They do look at scope of work questions at every meeting, and its determinations are publicly available. So no one's left to guess. And there is a safety mechanism, because if anybody disputes the way someone is interpreting the board's laws and rules, you can always come to the board and ask for their formal and informal interpretation, or you could file a protest. So we don't believe that the incidental and supplemental definition is vague, and it's up to the legislature and the board to interpret it. Unless you have any other questions, based on the record, based on the arguments today, we believe that the board's determination is not clearly or palpably erroneous. It's not arbitrary and capricious. It's not an abuse of discretion. It's not in conflict with the law.
See. How would you respond to the appellant's, how the appellant distinguishes Schultz from the facts of this case?
I think they were saying, well, that in Schultz, it involved it was a renovation work, but it also involved structural work. The issue in Schultz was whether the contractor was entitled to get payment for certain types of work under HRS Section 444-22, because that law says that if it's unlicensed work, you can't recover for that. So the work in the Schultz case involved structural and non-structural work. The contractor in that case was a B general building contractor, had a C5, and through its C5 license, did some of the work. And the court basically said that for the structural part of the work, they're not entitled to recover for that, because that goes beyond the scope of a C5. But the window work and the other types of renovation work, they fall within the scope of a C5, and therefore they're entitled to recover for that. So it's consistent with, and we don't believe that it's dicta. We believe it's part of the analysis of the court when they reviewed that case in order to determine what types of work fell within that was subject to compensation or not. So again, based on what we've presented, we believe that the board's determination is entitled to deference, and we should affirm the ICA's decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tan. Mr. Lilly, may I ask you, if the initial bid goes in and doesn't include the cost of what the subcontracting portion of it would be, how can the board take into consideration the extent and cost of a project?
I'm not sure I understand.
I thought Mr. Tam said that when the initial bid is put in, the price, whatever is going to be paid to the subcontractor, the cost of, say, in this instance, glazing the windows or doing the window work, is not specifically spelled out. If it's not spelled out, how did the hearing officer and the board err by saying that they wouldn't take into consideration the cost if they don't know what the cost is?
We're talking about the definition of the words incidental and supplemental, and what they said is that cost is not, the hearings officer said cost or extent of work is not a factor in determining whether it's incidental and supplemental under the contracting license board's definition. The bid project will lay out the extent of the work that has to be done in very detailed work, and then it's incumbent on the contractor submitting the bid to fill in the specialty contractors that are required.
Right.
And in this case, they didn't put a C-22 in there.
Okay.
And so what they were proposing to do was all of that work, they were going to do it with in-house employees and not have to hire a C-22 contractor.
Right.
Now, we submitted evidence that the value of that work was $372,000 and 10,000 slats and stuff like that. That's in the record. It was unrebutted. They had an opportunity to come in and say somehow, as Mr. Tam said, it's misleading, but never did they contest that. They never contested the value of this work, what it cost out to. And so that's why it's the only evidence in the record is we're talking about up to 25% of the entire project.
So you're saying what you're looking at is whether it's a contractor is entitled to deem certain portions of the sum contract incidental and supplemental, and the evidence would be what the cost would be, even though they're not required to put it in?
Well, I think you asked that of Mr. Tam, and he sort of, I don't know whether he actually admitted that somehow they take into account extent, but they've said all along that they don't, that they look at the nature of the work. But I have said in their opposition to this reply that in defining incidental and supplemental, they then go ahead and say, as the remaining part of the work, and they say, and this is footnote 4 or 6, they say, by its very nature, the remaining portions, which is incidental and supplemental of the work, cannot exceed the primary or significant portion of the work. So on the one hand, they're saying here that they do take into account extent or cost, and in their briefs and Mr. Tam's argument, they don't, and that's the problem with the terms related to, because anything can be related to. Any C work can be connected or associated. Look at the definition of related. And so they can eliminate any C contractor at their will, solely for the purpose, as the contracting license the general contractor said, is for cost. They want to keep it in-house and keep it low, trample on the public health.
You can take a minute to sum up if you'd like, Mr.
Pardon?
You can take a minute to sum up if you'd like, Mr.
Oh, okay. My last, the Trade Association of MIKI talked about this very cost issue on page 8. And they say, to quote Judge Burns in Sturkey versus Hahn, the circuit court decision and order reconstitutes the bidding process from one in which a measure of certainty is assured to a renovation bid process full of traps for the unwary and angles for the shrewd, including B contractors bidding renovation work as well as hearing officers amenable to cutting costs or corners in order to save money for the state. As noted above, B contractors performing renovation projects will have every incentive to substitute their own more economical workforce for specialty contractors. And in the bargain, of course, the public interest will be trapped. That's the Trade Association Amici brief, page 8, where they, on that point, they're saying, in the bargain, of course, the public interest will be trampled. And so what we're asking your honors to do is say, define incidental and supplemental. Using
has this been a consistent interpretation of the board that, you know, aluminum jealousy work is
I can't say that.
I can't say that. I mean, is this the first time this issue has come up?
This first time this issue has come up to the court. And if you look at the you know, they justify the B contractor doing this under their C5 carpentry license, which is entitled Cabinet Millwork and Carpentry Remodeling and Repairs. The C22 is one who assembles and installs metal windows, metal jalousies, all of the things that were done here. And these aren't just prefab. These had to be fabricated in an existing Lanikila, old elementary schools, we all know. And in order to install them, each window is different because it shifted, it's old, and they had to fabricate each window individually. And that's why Allied had so much difficulty when they finally realized it was a more difficult job than they thought. So this is significant work, and that's why this is a perfect case for this court to look at incidental supplement and define it and show that the contracting license board was overbroad.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll take this matter under advisement.